Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Hi there, and good morning. 908 on KDXU, I'm Andy Griffin. I think Mello's here too. Mello, are you here too?
Good morning, there we go.
There she is. All right, hi Mello.
Hi.
I'm up in up in Salt Lake Valley. I'm technically in Taylorsville at my son's house in the basement here. It's not a dark and scary cobweb, but no, this is the finished basement. But still, I am in the basement. And Mello is there in St. George. Appreciate you being with us, Mello. It's very nice of you to come along.
Yeah, thank you.
So, it's been fun watching the state baseball tournament up here. I have witnessed 9 games, something like that. A couple more to go, at least. And it's funny because, so last week, Mello, I don't know if you saw any of those videos. They kept putting them up, and then they got taken down and stuff. It was a lacrosse match over at Dixie High School, in which some parents got involved in a shouting match. Unfortunately, there were no punches thrown or anything like that, but parents were involved in a shouting match. And one lady, she may be, you know, the thing about internet famous, you're famous, really, really famous for about a week or 3 days or something, and then you fade into oblivion. But one lady with a baby on her hip, she got internet famous for a while. She was on the Daily Mail. She was all over something. I don't know if you, did you see any of those videos, Mello?
I did not see that. How did I miss that?
Okay, yeah.
That's hilarious.
I'm not going to try to summarize exactly what happened, but here's from my perspective what I saw. So apparently it was a very physical lacrosse game at Dixie, and one of the players was slightly injured, not seriously, but slightly injured, and started to leave the field, and the parents of the injured player and the parents of the player who maybe committed the injury or caused the injury got into it in the stands. They were yelling at each other and stuff, and police were called in because things started to get a little bit scary. And at one point, the lady said to this guy on the field, the player, his name is Gary, apparently, Gary, don't leave the field, or Gary, you get back on the field, or something like that.
It's Gary, and get then, on the bleeping
well,
field.
I'm editing, yes. At the same time, this lady is telling somebody to fix their hair.
That's my favorite.
Like, yeah. Go fix your hair. Anyway, she's leaving the place, and they're telling her to leave, and the police are about to show up. And whole thing is just kind of crazy. But I will say this. So I've been at the baseball tournament all week. The parents have been pretty well behaved. I mean, you got the usual, hey, that was a strike, ump, boo, you know, that kind of, you know, whatever. But I haven't seen any shouting matches. I haven't seen any parents getting mad at each other. To me, it's been, and I'm not saying baseball parents are more civilized than lacrosse parents or anything like that, but I think for the most part, and with maybe the exception of lacrosse, I think parents, as their kids get older, start to maybe be a little less emotional about things. I mean, I've seen some pretty serious stuff at Little League games. I know you have kids, Mello. Have you witnessed anything crazy at ball games over the years your kids played in?
Okay, so my husband went to his nephew's lacrosse game, and our 7-year-old was playing.
Oh, lacrosse again, huh?
Yeah, was playing with his little cousin, and there were these cute little girls. And my husband, it was cold, so he was in the car, and he was videotaping them because they were kind of like flirting with these little girls. And then it got kind of physical, and the girls were like pushing our boys, right? And so they were like,
now, how old are these kids?
7. So these little girls are probably like 7 or 8, and our boys are like 6 and 7, right? So they're like kind of like flirting, kind of like, you know, where it gets a little physical and they kind of push a little bit. And my husband's just kind of laughing and recording it. So then this little girl pushes my nephew down and she's on top of him, like kind of wailing on him just a little bit. And then her friend comes up and gets her foot and like stomps on his face and knocks out his little 2 baby bottom teeth.
Oh.
And he couldn't Holy find cow. His teeth. So the tooth fairy had to be creative and they had to write a letter to the tooth fairy. So he got paid. But literally, I think maybe lacrosse is just a little bit different breed, a little rougher, tougher tumble crowd.
Okay. Lacrosse. Well, I'll have to keep that in mind. None of my kids played lacrosse. In fact, I don't know anybody that played lacrosse back in the, you know, 90s or early 2000s. It's a new thing. They actually have, I don't quite understand the whole, I think 5A and 6A are certified UHSAA sports in lacrosse. 4A is not yet, or at least not in southern Utah, but I heard it's going to be next year. So,
yeah.
But you got to get those parents under control, right?
I know, but go ahead.
I was just going to say, I know rugby, I mean, lacrosse is a little bit rough, but rugby is rougher. But the rugby parents are all, you know, first class people. I haven't seen any yelling or fighting or anything. So.
Yeah. Well, my nephew was trying to sell lacrosse to my 7-year-old son, saying, "Do you like to beat people up? If you do, then you should play lacrosse."
Man.
I know. So that's the.
Yeah. Well, anyway, kudos to Desert Hills, Crimson Cliffs, Snow Canyon, and Dixie parents up here at the state tournament. I have not seen any of that kind of baseball extracurricular activity on the sidelines, so that's good news there. There's a story we have on. Now I'm going to allow you for a few minutes here, Mello, to tout your Instagram. You've got a decluttering following, I guess, almost a cult following, right?
It's kind of crazy how it's just taken off. I started off in January with my New Year's resolution of decluttering my house. Because I used to be a professional organizer, believe it or not, but I never, ever take the time to do anything at my house. So I'm like, this year, I'm going to go through my house, and I'm going to go through every single nook and cranny, and I'm going to, like, try and reduce it by at least, like, 25 to 50%. And I'm going to make myself post every day. So I took my old organizing business page and just turned it into this, and that's Hey Organize Me, H-E-Y, Organize Me. I started out with 280 followers January 1st, and I'm up to 22,800 followers now, which is crazy to me. Because it's just, like, my accountability. I'm not making any money on the site. It's just me holding myself accountable. And I'm going through a remodel at the same time, so it's been rather challenging. But it's fun.
Yeah, almost 23,000 followers. That's impressive. And what's the gist when you post, what is it you're posting? What if someone were to actually go check that out, what would they see?
Okay. So what I do is I record myself doing the decluttering or the organizing, and then I go through and I edit it. So you kind of get like a snapshot in 90 seconds, what took me either 20, 30 or 40 minutes. So it's just a truncated version, and then I go through and do a voiceover over the whole thing, kind of explaining, hey, here, this is for my son, and I'm going to be taking this over to the DI, and I'm taking these to the animal shelter, and just kind of explaining my process. And then I just post it, and it's just really raw. I don't edit it. Like, if there's dirt, and there's a big old pile of dirt, and I'm wiping it out, then you're going to see the dirt. I'm just very transparent, and I think people like the realness of it and the rawness of it. It's not Instagram perfect house. It's a house from the 1980s that a lot of people live in.
So do you like curl your hair and put makeup on it?
Never.
Never.
No.
This is real.
These are done after I'm done with work. So I work full time, and then I get home from work sometime, and then I go visit my dad after work. So like around 7:30.
Yeah.
Hi, Dad.
Yeah.
After work, then I go home, and I record it, and I edit it, and I usually post around 10:30 at night before I go to bed.
That is really cool. Now, we have a writer that writes that contributes to 890kdxu.com. Mindy is her name.
Mm-hmm.
She talked to this week about rules. Now, do you subscribe? Here are a couple of rules that she talked about. She has one friend that lives by the 12-12-12 rule, which is, you're supposed to locate 12 things in your life that need to be thrown away, 12 things in your life that need to be donated to charity, and 12 things in your life that need to be saved but put away in their proper places. So she talks about rules a little bit. That's rule number one. Have you heard of any of this rule, or do you like this rule?
I haven't heard of that rule. I think that's a good idea. I've heard of like one in, one out rule, like you buy something and then you're replacing it, so you take out the other item. Another rule I've heard that I really like is the Ohio method, and that's
Ohio method. I haven't heard that one.
It's only handle it once, and that's from Fly Lady.
Yeah, that's like the one touch rule. Yeah, that's in this article as well by Mindy. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you touch it, then you need to just put it away, and that's what kind of gets me, because I feel like I'm about 30 minutes ahead of my whole life. So I'm always just like getting to the next thing and the next thing. And so I'll just set something down. But then when I go back, so I went back and I reorganized this shelf that I had already completed and organized. But then I've just been shoving stuff in there. So it took me about 20 minutes to go ahead and go through it again. But if I would have just handled each item once, like there was like a whole pile of papers I just threw away. So I should have just thrown them away instead of shoved them in the cupboard. So it's just only handling it once. There's
you just relocated. I like that. There's another rule out there called the 90 rule. If you haven't used it in the last 90 days, then you should chuck it. And the variation on that one is the 5 rule or 5-year rule. If you haven't used it in the last 5 years, then it should be thrown away. Mindy says in her article, you know, that's one of those things that it's a good thought, but then what do you do with something like, say, your high school yearbook or maybe some flowers that you dried from your wedding or your baby book for your 9-year-old? Mm-hmm. Those are things you probably haven't used in 5 years, but you're not going to throw those away. I mean, let's get real here, right?
No, you wouldn't throw those away. You'd probably, what they call is like a memorabilia box or something to that effect where you're just putting like those memories that you want to keep. I've also thought about like the things that you save that you just don't use. And that's kind of when I went through my garage. Like if you go look at it's embarrassing, but it's just the way life is. Like I couldn't even walk in my garage. And my one goal was just to clear a path. Just a path is all I wanted.
So no cars in the garage then?
There were no cars in the garage. And I have a 3-car garage. So that's super embarrassing, especially for someone who knows how to organize that just chooses to do other things. So I literally just cleared a path. I thought it would take me 20 minutes. That stuff was piled so high and so deep. It took me about 45 minutes just to clear a path. And I just started just getting rid of things. And I seriously have taken like maybe 10 loads of van loads of stuff to the DI. And I don't even know how many things I've thrown away and gone through. There were totes that I had in my garage that I haven't even opened. Like skinny clothes from 2010. Do you know what I mean? Like, even if I get that skinny again, I'm not going to wear clothes from 2010.
Someday I'm going to finish. Yeah, right, I know what you mean.
But by then, you should just buy yourself new clothes.
Yeah, so it's reward yourself. Yeah. So just to conclude on Mindy, she says, I'm not going to throw out my yearbook or my wedding flowers, but I am going to get rid of that silly vase that I thought was cool and bought at a yard sale in the 2010s. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go through my closet and weed out the never-to-be-worn-again leggings or ill-fitting dresses. Says, no rules needed. Just get after it. Little at a time, clean up the areas that will, like you said, maybe your pathway in your garage. Clean out little areas that will make a difference in your life right up front. I like that.
Exactly. Just one thing a day, you have no idea what a difference it makes. Like, I finally have a car in my garage, finally. After
really?
A year
you,
and a half.
You got a car in there?
I do, but now with the remodel, there's a bunch of kitchen cupboards, so it barely fits in the garage until my friend comes to get those cupboards. But, yeah, it fits in the garage now. And people can't tell if I'm home. It's funny. They're like, wait, I didn't know you were home.
Yeah, I have been very blessed in that my wife is not a hoarder. In fact, she's a little bit of got to be careful. Don't want to call her a neat freak or a clean freak, but she's a very clean, neat person. And one of her rules way back from when we first had a carport and then our first garage is garages are for cars. You can store things in there, but if there aren't room for cars in your garage, there's something wrong. So we have a 3-car garage and we have 3 cars in our garage.
That's awesome. So, that's awesome. One of our car garages is for a home gym, which I like. But
that's good.
You should have it for the purpose that it's intended for, certainly.
You almost need some climate control in the garage, though, in St. George, if you're going to have a gym out there, because garages are not insulated very well, and they can get pretty hot in the summer, and a little bit cold, too, in January and February as well.
Yeah, so. I have a little heater and a little air conditioner thing, but if you get up early enough in the mornings, then it's really not too bad for the summer.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Last week, kicker from the NFL, his name is Harrison Butker, B-U-T-K-E-R, which I think is a funny name. They call him Butt Kicker Butker. one of the most accurate kickers in the league. In fact, in the history of the league, a very talented guy. He gave the commencement speech, the graduation speech, at a small school called Benedictine College. It's a Catholic school. And he is catching some heat over some of the things that he said. And I find it interesting because, you know, life is you do what you got to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I know you have a non-traditional family dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
We did too. I was Mr. Mom for two decades. You know, I mean, I was home during the day, taking care of the kids, changing, doing what you need to do during the day, and then I worked nights and weekends. My wife worked during the day. That's mm-hmm. what she did, and you know, so there were things like diapers to be changed, and well, you know, the everyday mm-hmm. Housewife stuff. So anyway, so I read the story, and I'm like, you know, people are all offended and upset because basically, I'm going to quote Harrison Butker. He said, "Quote." And it was a 20-minute long speech, so this is just a very, very small excerpt. But he says, some of you may go on to lead successful careers in the world, but I would venture to guess that the majority of you are most excited, and he's talking about talking to the women at this point, are most excited about your marriage and the children you will bring into this world. Well, the liberal left is really, really upset about it.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
They are in a tizzy about this one. And the thing is, Harrison Butker never said during the course of the speech, you should stay at home and have kids. You should be in the kitchen pregnant, making dinner for your husband who's at work. He never said anything like that. But to them, what he did say, what I just read to you, equates to that. In their mind, they're like, hey, how can you say that? You're telling us we can't work. And no, he Mm-mm. never said that. Here's one guy. From the USA Today, he's a columnist. He said, did I slip and fall into a time machine and travel back to the 1950s where women belong as homemakers? No, he didn't say that. He just said that homemaker was an important title. And it's an important study after study after study, Mello, has shown that having a mom and a dad at home,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily both of them, you know, dad at work, mom at home, or mom at work, dad at home, or anything, but just having them both there and helping to have the house a home is important. And that's what he was trying to say. Now, one thing about Butker, so he gave a commencement speech at Georgia Tech last year. Didn't say any of this stuff because Georgia Tech is a state sponsored college, secular college. He was speaking to, if you consider the audience, a very conservative, small Catholic college.
Yeah, his audience.
And he was addressing an audience that wanted, you know, it was important for him to. So this was one of the graduates that was in the audience. He said, I was thinking about my dad. I was thinking about my dad who was also here and how he's probably clapping and so happy to see what he would say is a real man reflecting family values, good religious upbringing, and representation of Christ to people.
Mm-hmm.
You can just hear what he loved, that he loves his wife. You can hear that he loves his family. This was Valerie Ann Volpe, who was in the audience and graduating from Benedictine College. Another person, Jeremiah Poff, who was also in the audience, said that the kicker did not say that women had to be barefoot, pregnant, and in the kitchen. All he did was note the fact that many women graduating from Benedictine will choose to be wives and mothers first, and that this vocation should be honored and celebrated. This is hardly a controversial statement for anyone who knows anything about the life goals of Benedictine students.
Right.
I like that. You know, they're just saying, look, you know.
We're not offended. Why are you offended? Like, I've heard that. Other people get offended for other people's cultures that they think are slighted when they're not even offended. Like, they're being offended for somebody who's not offended, which is weird.
Yeah. Now, one thing that has happened, of course, you've got the liberals in a tizzy, how he's saying women shouldn't have careers and how he's saying women should stay home and have babies and take care of the house. He never said any of that, by the way. But the NFL itself, not necessarily liberal, but listen to their statement. This is from Jonathan Bean, the NFL senior vice president and a chief diversity and inclusion officer. Yeah, they have one of those. He said, Butker gave a speech in his personal capacity. His views are not those of the NFL as an organization. He didn't say not necessarily. He said they are not the views of the NFL. And then he says, the NFL is steadfast in our commitment to inclusion, which only makes our league stronger.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Mella. I mean,
there you go.
I think we look for reasons to be offended and get upset. It's like there's a, I don't know, a committee out there somewhere waiting for somebody to say something so they can jump on it and make a big deal of it.
I, like I said,
I was in a non-traditional home for a long time. I was Mr. Mom. Mm-hmm. And I remember that song came out. I don't know if you ever heard that song.
I know
Mr.
it.
Mom.
Yeah, I know it.
I love that song. And when that song came out, I'm like, yeah, that's me. And it was me for, gosh, almost maybe two decades, something like that. But I could be offended by this. I could say, hey, you're saying women can do it. Why can't men do it? What's wrong with it? Or, you know, and of course, there's the other side of, you know, he's saying women can't have careers. And I just, to me, I'm just like, I'm okay with what he said. I don't have any problem with him glorifying the role of a mother. And I believe that moms are so important in whatever role they choose. The fact that kids have a mom and you can love a mom and help, have a mom help raise them, I think is so big. I mean, you're kind of in the same boat. You have a career,
mm-hmm.
right? But you're still a mom. It's still important to you.
Yeah, no, it is. And I've done both sides. Like, I was a stay-at-home mom for 20 years. And honestly, working outside the home is a little easier than staying at home and caring for all of the kids and all of their activities and preparing all the food and doing all the laundry and maintaining the yard and, right? It's a little easier just to, like, I went to my son's birthday party, his sixth birthday party, and it was the first birthday party in over 25 years that I hadn't had to plan. I hadn't had to invite. I hadn't had to arrange. I didn't have to get the cake. I didn't have to get the presents. And I came and I'm like, wow, being a dad must be really cool. Like, this was a really nice experience. I came to the party. I got to be there present. Yeah. And I didn't have to do any of the work. I was like, wow, I like this.
You keep selling houses and that'll continue, I guess.
I know, right? But I did hear, I heard a study and it said that replacing a stay-at-home parent, if you were to hire out all of the things a stay-at-home parent does, it would be over $200,000 a year. So there is value in what the stay-at-home parent does, and it shouldn't be diminished. And having the parent there that actually loves the child and is unconditional in their love is better than hiring those things out, in my opinion.
One of the things that we tried to adhere to in our family, so when our kids all, there was one point they were all in school, right? So basically you have from 8:30 or 9 till about 3 o'clock with free time. And at that point, when my youngest started full-time school, I was like, okay, I'm going to go out now and get a full-time job. And my wife was like, you know, and I was just working nights and weekends part-time. And my wife was like, I'd prefer you didn't, honey. And I'm like, well, we could have a lot more money, you know. Mm-hmm. It'd be kind of cool. And she's like, well, but don't you think it's important that when the kids get home from school, they have a parent there to talk about their day, to decompress, to you know, hey, somebody was mean to me, or hey, guess what? Look at this picture I drew, or hey, we got to see you know, some little piggies today in class. Whatever happened that day, and you know, she made a great point, and I was fortunate enough to postpone the daytime part of my career a little bit longer so I could be there for the kids for the most part until my girls were at least in high school, and be there for the kids when they got home from school. I think it was good for our kids and our family. So.
No, I love it. I remember when my youngest, I've had the youngest like three times. Like I have, there's like 7 years in between the last three. So I've had this experience a couple of times. And when they would all go to school, then I would volunteer at the school during the day.
Yeah, I did that too. Yeah, that was fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get to go to the library or go to groups and read, just be involved and then be present with your kids, which was so great. I loved all those experiences.
We kind of had the running joke in my family that I went to kindergarten and first grade and second grade six times, once for myself and once each of my kids. It was after second grade, they for whatever reason, and I don't know if it's different now, but when my kids were in school, after about second grade, they really didn't encourage as much of the parenting involvement as far as classroom stuff. But, yeah, I got to read to the kids and help them, you know, they're in kindergarten and first grade, to sound out their letters and make their little you know, combination sounds. And so that was actually, I think it was quality time. I thought it was really cool.
And that's always fun for your kid to see you. I had one kid that would hide whenever I'd come to his classroom. He'd be so embarrassed, but everybody else was pretty cool about it.
I had some great. I had one kid. I would say his name wrong on purpose every time, and he used to get so mad.
Oh, so
I don't think
mean.
It was really mad, but it was kind of joking mad because his first name was Dallin, and I'd call him Dylan. He hated that. And his last name, I don't want to give his whole last name, but his last name had a hard vowel sound, and I would make it a soft vowel sound, and that would. And he's like, no, come on. And then there was another girl. Her name was Lydia. And there's a song out there, Lydia, Lydia, I love Lydia, Lydia, the
tattooed lady.
Tattooed lady. Yeah. I used to sing that to Lydia, and she would get so mad at me. She's like, stop singing that song. And, but by the end of the year, she wanted me to sing it every time we saw each other.
That's so funny.
That was kinda cool.
Yeah, I actually have a daughter named Lydia because it's after one of my grandmothers.
Uh huh. And, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I was pregnant, and I told the doctor what I was going to name her, and he sang me that song, and I was so mad. I was like, you're so rude, but I'm still going to name it. And there's a Muppets version of Lydia the Tattooed Lady instead of the Groucho Marx version. And it's so funny. It's like with Kermit singing, and Miss Piggy is all dressed up with all these tattoos. It's really funny. So I actually taught it to my daughter when she was little, and she would love to watch it. So, yeah, I love that song.
When she was Lydial, huh?
Lydia. Yeah, it was really cute.
That is cool. Yeah, Lydia, that girl that I sang to back in first grade would be, I think, 21 or 22 years old now. I wonder if she looks back fondly on that or if she's still mad at me. I don't know.
Maybe she has tattoos and it's all your fault.
Yeah. We got to take a commercial break, weather break, and we'll be back with more on the Andy Griffin Show. Right now, I want you to text me if you want tickets to tomorrow's LPGA Epson Tour event. It's a championship day Saturday. These tickets are pretty cool. They're VIP tickets, which means you can go in and tan and get some food, watch some TV, and I think they have, like, real food, too, not just cookies and punch, but some real food. So text me right now, 435-467-5842. I've got tickets. I got a few of them, so if a few of you want to text in, again, it's 467-5842. Or the PGA event, just say ticks. Just text me ticks or tickets, and we'll hook you up.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
All right, Rich got a couple of tickets for the Copper Rock Championship. Not too late. It's the Epson Tour Championship. We have tickets for tomorrow. And they're VIP tickets, which means that you can go in the tent and get some free food and watch some TV and hang out with some of the golfers. Just text me at 435-467-5842 if you want tickets to the Copper Rock Epson Championship tomorrow. Next week is the LPGA Senior Championship, and we will have tickets for next week available during the course of next week. Not now, so don't text if you want senior tickets, but we'll have tickets for you available next week for that. But if you want tickets for tomorrow, 435-467-5842. I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for listening today. You can call into the show anytime at 673-5890. That's 435 area code 673-5890. Got a text from Mella during the commercial break. Cracks me up because I am right there with you, Mella. You want to explain the text a little bit?
Yeah, so I have a daughter who is turning 21 in June.
Okay.
And she's
grown up, yep.
She's grown up, but she moved back home and she is slowly not very good at saving her money. And she texted me and she's like, do you want my birthday list so far? And so I texted her back. I said, for my adult kids, I just Venmo $50 because I also have son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws and grandkids now. So that's, you're an adult. You get $50. You're welcome. And she's like, what? And I said, haha, welcome to adulthood.
Yeah, baby. Welcome to being grown up. And my kids are the same way. Each one of them, as they transition from being a kid and at home to being a grown up, same deal, man. I'm like, they're like, hey, I want this and this and this. I'm like, well, that's
and then
nice.
And then she said, do you want the list anyway in case you're feeling generous?
Now, Mello, you are kind of a little bit of a softie.
I know.
You're laughing about this, but you might actually, I could see you caving on this one a little bit.
But do you want to hear her list? I actually got it sent. It's really funny because these are not cheap items. Okay. The first item, money. The next one, Nike.
She's getting that.
Nike Air Force Ones, black.
Aren't those $120 or something?
Yeah, she's bougie with a really small budget. Target blanket. Oh, don't forget an Apple Watch, Mom. A Brandy Melville card.
Apple Watch, those are...
like $600. A Depop gift card, Amazon gift card, vanilla candles, or some Doc Martens, Jordan boot, or Mary Jane. Like, that's her list for me to choose a couple of items from.
Wow.
Yeah, she's getting $50 for sure.
It's one of those deals. Kids, that stuff costs money, and you've been floating, and we've been taking care of you for a long time. But guess what? You're a grown-up now, and if you want that stuff, you got to buy it. And if you're going to buy it, you got to figure out a way to save up the money. Or I guess some kids will just charge it, once they get credit cards, and then they have to pay for it later when they find out, oh, yeah, that's not like a free thing. So.
Yeah, so I'm frustrated with this one because I set her up like almost 5 months ago, 4 months ago with like a credit card from Mountain America that was just a $500 limit. And all she was supposed to do was put her gas money on it every month and then pay it off. And then at the end of the 6 months, she would have a credit score because she didn't have a credit score yet. So it would report and she would have enough to get a $10,000 loan for a car. So what did she do? She went out and maxed it to $500, and then I froze her card. She doesn't know I did that yet. And then she would go and she would just transfer it from her credit card to her account. So she was just floating her own self with the credit card. And so now her credit is probably shot, and she missed one payment. So, yeah, I'm not...
Kids.
Not helping this one very much.
They will find out in a hurry. My youngest daughter... She's newlywed. Her and her husband wanted a house, and you know, a modest house, which is hard to say. Modest house, $350,000. That is a modest house in modern times. Unfortunately, that used to be a luxury home back in the day. But yeah, modest house, and they got turned down for a loan. And,
oh no!
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad, you know, and I want to help them, but yeah, at that 21 and 20, I'm not. You know, I'm not going to, first of all, I don't have it. Second of all, I'm not going to give them $100,000. Yeah, here you go. You're good.
No.
So, but it's kind of the harsh reality. They, especially her husband kind of gotten a little bit of credit card trouble, you know, between the age of 18 and 21. And now you can't get a house because of it. So
isn't that sad? Like they just don't realize the ramifications of those spontaneous choices.
Yeah, very true. Yeah. Very true. All right, I got some other people that have texted in about tickets. We will make sure that the best we can to get everybody tickets for the event tomorrow, the Copper Rock Championship over there at Hurricanes Copper Rock Golf Course. Time is it? It's 9:40. Let me play this one more set of commercials, and then when we come back, we'll talk about Spencer Cox, our fine governor, and what he said, and a little bit about immigration, what he said about immigration. I actually don't disagree with some of what he said. That's coming up after.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Man, the show has gone quick today. I'm Andy. Thanks for tuning in. It's 9:50 on KDX. We got a little bit of time left. We'll keep talking here. Congratulations. Let's see. Rob, Brenda, and Abraham all winning tickets. And I think it was Rich earlier. Going to the Copper Rock Epson Tour LPGA tomorrow. VIP tickets. Pretty cool stuff. Thanks for listening. Next week, we will be giving away tickets to the Senior LPGA Championship at Copper Rock. Same deal, VIP tickets. So, yeah, very, very cool. Thanks for tuning in today. Again, I'm here. I'm Andy. Mello is here every Friday. Love having Mello around. Thank you for being here. Mello, so for years, I talked with my buddies and friends and coworkers, even Mike McGarry before he retired. We spent a long time talking about illegal immigrants. Mike had a neighbor whose daughter, unfortunately, was molested, well, raped, trying to put a nice word. He was raped. She was raped by an illegal immigrant. And the hard thing, the thing that, that Mike McGarry really struggled with was this illegal immigrant never really paid for his crime. What they did was they, ICE got a hold of the immigration, whatever people, they got a hold of him, sent him back to Mexico. Within a month, this illegal immigrant was back in St. George.
No way.
Never having served really any meaningful time for the crime that he committed. This is unfortunately all too common, where what happens is you commit a crime up to murder. I think at murder, they're like, nah, you're not going anywhere. But you commit a crime, and as soon as the immigration people get a hold of them, they send them back to Mexico, and these people come back, and they might be using a different name or whatever, but they, yeah, they're back. And it's frustrating to me. So Governor Cox was asked about illegal immigration. Ultimately, this was his statement. He said the federal government.
Uh-oh, we lost him. We lost him. The other thing, I did read it, and what he was saying was that the federal government is actually kind of holding everything hostage with Utah and with the other states. It's not letting them. Are you there? Go ahead. I was filling in for you.
Yeah. Yeah, number one, I agree with him that the federal government is failing in not prosecuting these ones that commit crimes. But also, Mello, here's the thing that I guess maybe I'm picking nits here, but isn't being in the country illegally, I mean, by very definition, isn't that already breaking the law? Have we already given up completely on illegal immigration that now it's just accepted? And I mean, we don't even call it that anymore, right?
I know, they just...
I don't know.
I know that's not the crime anymore. Now the crime is a crime against another person. So they get to do another something, which is sad.
Am I off base here? Because, you know, I grew up in Texas, and we were 100 miles from the border or so in the two towns I lived in. Maybe a little further in one of the towns, but not very far from the border. And I remember at the time there were a lot of Latinos or Hispanic or Mexicans, whatever you want to call them, and we didn't know there were ones that were U.S. citizens,
mm-hmm.
and there were ones that were not U.S. citizens, and we didn't know the difference between them. And that's the way, you know, Steve Dunham has said it on the show before. We don't differentiate. That's not our job to differentiate between the ones that are here legally and illegally. But it was just kind of accepted that they came over, you know, whether they swam the Rio Grande River, climbed a fence, a wall, or whatever, they came over. And there was basically, it was a concession. There's nothing we can do about that. And I know our current federal government feels that way too, but I just feel like.
Yeah, I'm hearing.
Isn't there?
Yeah, you keep on cutting in and out. Sorry, Andy. What was that last part you said?
Yeah, I just feel like there's something that we can do about this. I don't know what it is, but it's frustrating to me that the only time they even raise an eyebrow at all is if one of them commits a crime, another crime besides being here illegally. That's frustrating.
Yeah. The thing I read about this was that Governor Cox would like to have a holding facility here, but they turned down the offer to let them have a holding facility here because then we could control the problem instead of the federal government just turning them loose.
Yeah, that's true. They're supposed to. So if an illegal immigrant gets arrested in Utah, they are the ICE agent. They're supposed to be notify ICE immediately. That's immigration and customs, whatever people, enforcement, immigration and customs enforcement officials. Supposed to notify them immediately. The ICE authorities are supposed to then take that illegal immigrant to what you were mentioning, the holding facility. Problem is, Utah doesn't have one.
Mm-hmm.
So what are they supposed to do? Take them to Nevada or Idaho or Colorado or mm-hmm. or something? I don't know. But again, I kind of go back to, I mean, I hate to criticize our officials, but he says, yeah, when it comes to deporting those who have broken the law, Well, they're already breaking the law. They're illegal.
Right.
I don't know.
But why can't they just put people in jail and, like, put them through the criminal justice system if they're here? Like, in Mexico, they wouldn't just send you back to the U.S. if you committed a crime. You would go through their legal system and have to sit there and figure out your crime and try and get, you know, deported or taken back from by the U.S.
There are Americans all over the world right now in jails in foreign countries because they broke the law of that country. And we're not talking about murders. We're talking about, you know, having illegal drugs or we're talking about something or whatever. There are Americans all over the world that are in jail in other countries because they broke the law. So, yeah, I agree with you on that aspect. Throw the book at them. Make them serve for whatever crime they committed. The penalty for that crime. The problem one of the problems I see, though, is that then we are paying. I mean, it's expensive to house a prisoner, right, Mello? I mean, they've got to pay for their meals. They've got to pay for, you know, the money it costs to build the building and for health care and things like that. So we're paying for another country's citizens to sit in our jail. That's not good either.
I know, but I think it's better than them coming out and reoffending and injuring or killing or, you know, persecuting the people that live here lawfully. I don't know. I think I would rather see, until there's a detention center or something more permanent, I think that would be a better fix in the meantime. And then they wouldn't know. They would know if they do commit a crime that, hey, we're going to get stuck in the jail. We're not going to just get sent home and get to come back. So there, that might be more of a deterrent for future crime. I don't know. That's my opinion on that.
Well, I think, you know, you can go to.
Oh, there he goes again. He's just in and out. I don't know what he's doing. His Bluetooth is kind of having some problems. Anyway, overall, there is an issue with the immigration rules here. And I think the Biden administration is just trying to get voters.
The right way.
You're out again and now you're back in. So we missed whatever you just said. Sorry.
Yeah, I was just saying, until we get a president, a leader that can do something about the deep root of the problem, it's going to be a problem. So if you don't think this election is important, folks, if you don't think getting Joe Biden and the liberals out of the White House, if you don't think, you know, the Republicans, the conservatives winning the Senate and the House is important, well, you're wrong. These are monstrous issues that affect everyday life. They affect Mike's neighbor. His daughter was raped by an illegal immigrant who was back in the country within a month. Are you okay with that? I'm not okay with that.
No, that's bad.
So, very sad. Well, Mello, we are actually short on time. We're running out of it right now. I do appreciate you being here today, even though I'm not there. I'm there in spirit.
Right. Yep.
And you're there in body. I know you're headed off. We've got a few seconds. You're headed off to do a live broadcast from where and for who?
It's in Cedar City, and it's for the Rolling Rubber. So it's a tire store. So that'll be so much fun. So I'm excited. We're actually leaving in just like 1 minute. So it's been a good day.
And you're going to be on the country station, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. 107.3, 94.9. I'll be on there.
Very cool. Well, Mello, thanks for taking the time to hang out with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great time in Salt Lake.
Send your daughter her $50 and say, welcome to the real world. We're out of time. Thanks for listening to the program today. I'm Andy. I'll be back in studio on Monday. And I've got Eric Dowdle, the superstar artist / puzzle maker, on the air on Monday morning. Looking forward to that. We'll talk to you then.